The Super Bowl is almost here. Let's get you prepped. Let's get you hyped. Let's get you to Las Vegas as we bring you the latest on the 49ers and Chiefs as they close in on Super Bowl 58. Here are your hosts of Stiles and Watkins, Alan Stiles and Chris Watkins.
Yes, yes, yes. On a beautiful, beautiful Thursday.
I was like, I hope you can tell me. I don't know what day it is.
Right, I was double checking in my mind, but it's definitely Thursday. Stiles and Watkins, Viva Las Vegas,
yes,
still in Vegas for the rest of the week. Thanks to Jiffy Lube. Sacktown Sports Road Trip to Radio Row in Las Vegas is brought to you by our friends at Jiffy Lube. When it's time for a road trip, visit Jiffy Lube for all your automotive maintenance needs. Jiffy Lube is your road trip headquarters. And actually, we are going to hear from Michelle Beadle a little bit later.
Yes.
And if I'm not mistaken, when we ran into her earlier, she said that she drove.
Yes,
she drove because of all the rain in Vegas. So hopefully, Michelle, we'll talk to her a little bit about it later. Make sure you hit up Jiffy Lube. Make sure you are good to go. And look, I said it on this show. I'm not messing around. We have so many guests that we are going to get into, like we said, Warren Moon, Michelle Beadle. So we have all of them coming up. And who else? Jay is working very hard. Simone is working very hard back in Sacramento, and Nate, of course, as well. Nate's looking at me. Nate, you know I'm going to get to you. Me and Nate, we just have this funny relationship here. And
hilarious.
Chris, I can throw to you. That's all fine and good because I'm a man of my word.
Yeah,
because that's all you have. We just heard that from an older gentleman. Okay, that's what he told us.
Charles Kelly from the AP.
Right, Charles Kelly for that. Look, I'm just saying, there's a lot going on, Jay.
Yeah, I know.
A lot of everybody wants to be on the show.
I know.
Everybody wants to be on the show, and I told Chris, and I sit on these airwaves. If the Kings lose, if the purple team in Sacramento loses, I'm not talking about them for the rest of the week.
Yeah.
And they lost. So, Chris, if you want to speak about them, you can. But I'm not. I'm not.
I respect you for being a man of your word. I think we can get through it. I think you know, we got plenty of guests lined up until noon. At that point, if a trade happens, maybe we can talk. That's not the same team, you know.
That's
if
true.
If they make a trade,
that would be a different roster.
It's pretty much a different team.
But
so
I'm not talking about that.
Yeah, we'll wait for that to happen. And then until that happens, I mean, not really much to say. I mean, it's inexcusable to lose to the Detroit Pistons. We had a glimpse of it when they were in Detroit, but, you know, I didn't think that it would possibly actually happen, especially, you know, coming home after a great road trip. Just to have that stinker. I mean, there was no reason for the Detroit Pistons to even be in that game. They had 40% of their roster pretty much unavailable. It was like they were playing that Grizzlies team a month ago. And I mean, I'm right there with you, man. I don't really want to waste a lot of breath when we got all of this great opportunity in front of us.
And number one, you know that you can't mess around with them because you were down 20 the first time you faced them. And number two, they still have done all this without Cade Cunningham.
He hasn't played once.
It's just
and Isaiah Stewart.
And Isaiah Stewart. So this is ridiculous. All right, this is a football show.
Yep, always has been.
I'm not kidding. If the Kings make a trade, it would technically be a different roster.
Yep.
But that roster that they have right now is dead to me.
Yeah.
We're trying to have a good time today, and nobody is going to rain on my parade. We know there's a lot of rain.
Sports
going
were tough
on.
For us last night. We're sitting at the MGM.
It was
not
great.
The book, and
it was not I great. Told you.
We're hanging out with name drop Matt George.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
It was ugly. I felt bad for him. He had to do the post-game.
He had to go do a pod.
Yeah.
All
shout
right?
out Brendan Nunes, who filled in for me on the
post-game. Brandon.
Thank you for not making me sit through that, Brendan. I appreciate it, buddy.
There you go. So, yeah, like we said, plenty of guests. Andrew Sendejo. We have an opportunity for Chris to fanboy as we talk to a former Vikings player. Yeah, and he
tried. KJ Osborne walking around.
Basically,
come on.
I just handed the mic over to Chris, and I said, Chris, do what you got to do, man.
Take over.
And I will say, you know, Chris is a very professional.
I try.
Okay, but I said you can be a fanboy if you want. So a lot to get to today, and there are some trades that are happening.
Yeah.
What
right
you said?
Now,
ooh,
I'm
what's
seeing
going
right
on?
Now. This is a name that
it's
was
not the
on
purple
the
team.
Kings board. No, it was on the purple team board.
Okay, who is it?
So he now comes off. This is from Adrian Wojnarowski, which you'll be hearing a lot of his name today. The Charlotte Hornets are finalizing a trade to send forward PJ Washington to the The Dallas Mavericks.
Oh,
my
goodness.
Who were the Kings' main competition in all of these trade talks.
Brendan Nunes wanted him.
Yeah, to the Dallas Mavericks.
For what?
Get ready for this one. Grant Williams, Seth Curry, and a first-round pick. So P.J. Washington now finds his way into Dallas for Seth Curry, Grant Williams, who they just signed this offseason, and a first-round pick.
And Grant Williams.
Grant Williams, yeah, and Grant Williams.
Are you interested in a Grant Williams in purple?
You're not.
It's the K word. I'm not allowed to say the K word.
Yeah, maybe. I got to look at his contract. That's kind of dependent. I like the idea of Grant Williams, but I think the fact that the Dallas Mavericks just moved on from him so quickly should tell you he's probably not the right fit. I mean, Dallas is a team that's pretty much looking for exactly the kind of players the Kings are looking for, and if they're willing to move on from a Grant Williams, I don't know. That just kind of tells me, or I guess it could tell me that, you know, he probably wouldn't be a good fit for this Kings team either. And I kind of think he would fit a role that's similar to Trey Lyles anyway. And, you know, I know we're not going to talk about the game, but Trey did have a good night last night. Stand up.
Yeah, I have no problem. I have no problem with Trey.
He's never.
And I saw something that said, De'Aaron Fox made all the coaches that didn't vote for him look very smart last night.
Geniuses. They look like
geniuses. I'm sorry.
No,
that's just what happened.
It's been a while. That's just what happened. It's been a while since we've seen De'Aaron Fox look like the old, like the De'Aaron Fox that we knew him to be. And I don't know if he is hurt. We've seen him grab his shoulder too many times now. I think that him and this team desperately need this All-Star break to come. But unfortunately, before it comes, they got a really, really tough gauntlet of teams.
No, it's over now.
They're the 7th seed as we wake up this morning. And I believe they are 2.5 games up on said Dallas Mavericks for that 8th seed. So, you know, they got, like I said, 4 tough matchups before that All-Star break. Look, I'm just saying, because it's a fact, there's a chance that this team enters the All-Star break as like an 8 or a 9 seed.
Can we look at a positive, though? Because you said that about De'Aaron
Fox. The game's over?
Yeah, the game's over. You know, we're done with it. But you said that about Fox. You said it made them look smart. All the coaches didn't vote him. Opposite for Sabonis. The man was a monster last night.
That's right.
He was out of control. I didn't see his stat line at the end, but we were watching deep into the fourth. He had no turnovers to go with, like 30 points and 12 assists. I think you saw a line at 13.5 rebounds for the man. I think he got. I didn't see the.
Yeah.
But just from what we saw, he was amazing.
No, he was incredible.
But that's where I'm at with this, Nate. There is for sure one dog on this team. That is Domas. That's the one dog on this team. I want to put Malik there. I know Malik mentally is there.
Yeah.
But some of the things that he does on the court sometimes, it's hard for me to put him there. Right?
That little underhand pass.
It's always
De'Aaron where it was like he just threw it out of bounds.
And I don't know if you saw this. I don't know if everybody saw this and heard Malik say he doesn't like the booing.
Yeah.
Look, man, only the purple team. Okay, only the purple team can ruin 2 weeks of goodwill in one game.
This is ridiculous, man.
Yeah. I don't care about the Harrison Barnes Revenge Tour anymore.
Two weeks.
They can go. No. They can all go.
Before the trade deadline, Monty McNair's got to be like, what did I do to deserve this?
He's been on the phone all night. He was up all night.
He's up all night. He might as well be in Vegas.
Who do you want?
He has less than 2 hours to decide because of what they did last night. If they had won last night, you really couldn't blame Monty for whatever happened next.
Yeah.
Cavs, they're on a roll. You go out, you take care of business back at home. All right, they were rolling there. You know what I mean? At that point, they would have been, 7-2 their last 9 games?
Yep.
Without a loss to the worst team in the league. All right, Monty, we feel you. We can't feel you now. He does not deserve this. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, continuing to talk about the purple team trades. Okay, who's going to win the trade off today between Woj and Shams? And of course, Super Bowl guests, Super Bowl talk, Niners, Chiefs. We're working hard, or are we hardly working? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Special thanks to Jiffy Lube for making our road trip to Radio Row possible. Jiffy Lube, a proud sponsor of Sacktown Sports. Buddy Hield is on the move again. We're trying to keep up with everything. But Buddy Hield is now headed to Philly.
Philly, yeah.
Philadelphia from Tyrese Halliburton to Tyrese Maxey.
Right.
That's not a bad deal for Buddy.
No, no.
Just hit some threes.
That's all he's got to do.
And kick it.
Yeah, it's the perfect situation for Buddy. I mean, he really – the only problem will be, I mean, those Philly fans, if they get sick of him, he's probably going to hear it a lot. And he should be in a good situation. I mean, Max, he's going to have the ball in his hands a ton.
Right.
How much is he going to play? Yeah. I'd assume a good bit. I mean, Philly needs some shooters since they lost J.J. Redick, honestly.
Yeah.
I think it's a really good move for Philly. For Indy, I think that, you know, kind of like it was with the Kings, I think they knew that if they wanted to be a serious team, you kind of need to move off of a guy like Buddy Hield because you just can't play him major minutes in a playoff series. And down the stretch, he's not really a guy that you trust to defend or make good decisions.
Yeah.
And looking at this right now, I'm seeing Shams just put out another Kings target is off the board.
Oh, no.
This one might have been our favorites, too. Royce O'Neal is headed to the Phoenix Suns, who don't even have assets. I don't understand how this is a thing.
Right.
The Phoenix Suns are trading right now all that it says is salaries and 3 second-round picks for Royce O'Neal.
Three second-round picks.
Which is a lot of second-round picks.
Right.
It's not necessarily a high – like, it's not like it's, oh, no, you got to value those. But three is still, like, that's pretty significant amount of assets for a guy who's eighth guy in your rotation maybe. So
that is interesting.
That definitely – I mean, and that could maybe tell you – and, you know, again, you've been on it, but that could really tell you about – the state of this trade market where I don't know if Royce O'Neal is going for a player and 3 second-round picks, you can understand why. I guess maybe Dorian Finney-Smith for 2 first-round picks
is not as crazy.
Yeah, it doesn't sound as crazy as what it maybe did in the first place, but you've been on it. I think all of this stems from, I mean, if you're going to trade 5 first-round picks for Rudy Gobert, yeah, I mean, Royce O'Neal for 2 kind of isn't insane.
Exactly. And now you have the Knicks making some trades.
Right.
You have Bojan Bogdanovic and Alec Burks. Quentin Grimes, who they've been, I guess, people really want Quentin Grimes. He can shoot now.
Yeah.
He can shoot. Yeah. Evan Fournier, who wanted a bigger role.
Yeah.
Malachi Flynn and 2 second-rounders. So Bojan Bogdanovic and Allen Iverson, a.k.a. Alec Burks, okay, because that's what he looked like last night.
God. They could have made this trade yesterday.
Team. That's what I'm saying.
Come on.
Torching the purple team.
Do us a favor to trade.
So Bojan and Alec are headed to the Big Apple, and Quentin Grimes, Evan Fournier, Malachi Flynn, and 2 second-round picks are headed to Detroit, which not a bad deal. I know a lot of people like Malachi Flynn. He really just hasn't gotten to a team where he can play a lot. And I don't know what's, you know, Cade Cunningham and these injuries. Maybe he'll get some time there. So there's another move as well.
People like Quentin Grimes a lot, too.
There you go. In Oklahoma City, the Hornets are expected to acquire a package centered around Trey Mann and salary, sources said. Mann, a 2021 first-round pick, has upside as a talented young guard. And that ended up going through, right?
Yes.
Or not yet? Okay,
yes,
so Gordon Hayward,
they
finally got a veteran presence out there.
Did they trade any other picks for that, does it say? No, okay. I don't think it's.
I'm on Shams. Yeah. We can check Woj as well. So Gordon Hayward is headed to Oklahoma City. I know we just talked about the Knicks.
Yeah.
Why are all these trades happening in the West? Why are all these trades happening in the West? Why can't they happen somewhere else? This is not what we need, Chris.
Yeah, no, this isn't great. And, I mean, you know, it just feels like the Kings, especially with, names like PJ and Royce O'Neal, I don't know what moves they can realistically make to fix this thing. I mean, because clearly after watching last night, and we've just seen it too many times, I just don't have faith that this team can win a playoff series. And if you're going to put them in the play-in, I'm not ready to publicly say it, but man, I'm nervous about a play-in situation. I'll tell you that.
No, a play-in situation, anything can happen.
Yeah.
Okay, and you know it gets tight in there.
Sure does.
And if you aren't hitting shots the way we've seen, not just the Kings, any team miss shots, your whole season is over.
Yep.
Your whole season is
Do
over.
Do you have any issue too with that loss last night coming at home?
A huge issue.
It's like, you know,
are you asking is it worse that it was at home?
It's just, it feels like this team doesn't take care of their home court advantage. Like, forget the fact that, yes, every team that goes home feels like, oh, yeah, we're, you know, it's comfortable, sleep in our own beds, all that stuff. But the Sacramento Kings have an actual home court advantage. Like, that crowd is seriously something special. And for them to just waste it when they're good themselves, it's just it feels like a huge missed opportunity. And they're just you know what it is? It's they're making it so much harder for themselves than it needs to be.
Yeah.
And that feels like the story of this team is just nothing comes easy. And it is very much like that Giants, the when they were making their torture. Championship run, San Francisco Giants baseball torture, Sacramento Kings basketball. I mean, it's basketball hell, man. It's
not great.
So tough.
It's embarrassing
to play through. I mean, just as a fan, as a watcher, as an observer, it's incredibly frustrating to watch a team just, I mean, the Detroit Pistons at home. Mm-hmm. We're calling it a homecoming game.
That's right.
You blew the homecoming.
And it wasn't. It was just bad.
It was terrible.
It was just bad.
Because it's like there's no excuse for allowing the Detroit Pistons to score 130 points in a basketball game.
No, you got cooked.
Come on.
You got cooked. From Woj, this is 36 minutes ago, the Raptors are trading Dennis Schroeder to the Nets for Spencer Dinwiddie.
Mm, that's interesting.
Dennis Schroeder
to
the Nets for Spencer Dinwiddie. And two teams – I mean, I guess the Raptors actually know what they're trying to do now. You get a veteran presence in there like Spencer Dinwiddie.
Right.
I don't really know what the Nets are trying to do.
No clue. I mean,
Dennis Schroeder isn't necessarily a spring chicken.
No. From what I understand with that situation, Spencer Dinwiddie just wanted out. He wanted out of that situation, and I guess it was by any means necessary. And Toronto, with them bringing in Emmanuel quickly at the before the deadline, like a lot of teams should have done, they just don't really have a need for Schroeder anymore. So I think it's a good fit. And then Toronto also made the first move of the day today, bringing in Kelly Olynyk and Ochai Agbaji from Utah. And Utah gets a late first-round pick. So you get Kelly Olynyk heading back to the 666.
There you go. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, more trades. Hopefully with the Kings, not too sure if there will be. Oh, I said the K word.
Oh,
hopefully with the purple team, Siles and Watkins, we will be right back in Vegas thanks to Jiffy Lube. We are back, Siles and Watkins, 10 a.m., 2 p.m. Oil changes, tire rotations, your overall car maintenance. Think Jiffy Lube. Jiffy Lube is the place to take your car for your next road trip. Jiffy Lube, proud sponsor of Siles and Watkins. Radio Row road trip to Las Vegas, joined by Baltimore Ravens safety Marcus Williams. 7 years in the NFL, 5 with New Orleans, 2 now in Baltimore. Marcus, thank you for joining us.
Man, I appreciate you having me on today.
Man, let's start here. We're not going to say you're public enemy number one. You're not that high off the list, but you did have an interception against the Niners in Week 16. You don't need to go through all the details, but just in that play with Brock Purdy now, you face both teams. So we're going to talk about the Chiefs side and the Niners side. But you guys and what the Ravens did to the Niners, that you ruined so many Christmases. You ruined so many Christmases in Northern California. What happened that night, and what did you see within that Niners offense that just had you guys just ready to rock and roll?
Man, we just did our job. We came in, and we stuck to the game plan, and, you know, our game plan worked. We had a good D coordinator who made sure that he put that defensive game plan in and made sure it was simple, and we go out there, and we were able to fly around and do what we're supposed to do, and it made it fun for us to go out there and have so many interceptions against the 49ers. I mean, it kind of helped them get to the Super Bowl, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely a little.
I like that,
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you mentioned your D coordinator, Mike McDonald. He's now over in Seattle. How do you feel about how he's going to do over there?
I think he's going to do just fine. I think he did a great job of coaching us up. And in the last 2 years that we did have him, you know, our defense definitely elevated from year one to year two. And I think he's going to go out over there and help them elevate their game just as much. So I'm proud that he's able to go over there and become a head coach, because not a lot of people get the opportunity, and he's going to make the most of it.
He's a young guy, too. Do you feel any different way about, you know, being coached by a guy who's younger versus older, or does any of that matter?
No, it doesn't matter. As long as they have the knowledge for the game, as long as they're able to be able to work the room and coach us up in the way that you should be coached, and, you know, not try to belittle somebody and stuff like that. He doesn't have an ego. Yeah. He's able to talk to you. You're able to give your feedback to him, and he listens. And when a guy's able, you're able to talk to a guy and they're able to listen, and you're able to put your input in, it makes it easier for everybody else to come together and be a unit all together.
Talking to Marcus Williams, Baltimore Ravens safety. So I know it's a little bit different in the NFL because the player power in the NBA is crazy. But in Sacramento, there's a lot of conversation, not just Sacramento, the Bay Area, about, oh, well, certain free agents don't want to go to Sacramento. Certain free agents don't want to go to the Bay Area. You were in New Orleans, which I know New Orleans is a great time. Now you're in Baltimore. As a player, how much do the cities actually matter, right? We always feel like, are they? We don't see players walking around anyway. Does it really matter where you are, or do you guys just make the best of it no matter what?
I think you make the best of it no matter what. As long as you have a good locker room, as long as you have the good people around you that you're able to, you know, build a team with, I think everything's all right. But with a team that may not have that good unity and good energy in there, it may be tougher for more people because they may want to go out and reset their minds and go do something out, go eat or something. Mm. But if you're in a place that there's nothing to do, it might be tough, but if you're about ball, you're about ball. It doesn't really matter where you're at.
Yeah. And I mean, Alan mentioned it. You've played both of these two teams. I mean, I'm not saying you got to make headlines or nothing, but just who, in your opinion, was more difficult to try and game plan, or who was more difficult to prepare for, I guess?
I think we prepared equally for both teams. I think we had a good game plan going into each of the games. So I wouldn't say one is more difficult than the other. I think Mike definitely did a good job of having us ready to go, and we put that time in the film room as a defense, as an offense, and we just did what we were supposed to do when we came out to the field. So I wouldn't say any game was, you know, harder to game plan for. We just came out and we just play each and every week. We're going to hit first.
Yeah, talking to Marcus Williams, Baltimore Ravens safety, there's so much being said about Brock Purdy, and he has a very specific story. But, you know, everybody can be an underdog in certain ways, and let's not forget that what Lamar Jackson did in Louisville and then coming to the league, he was a bit of an underdog. And based on what he did in college, he was drafted pretty low. Now he has naysayers as far as what he's going to be able to do in the playoffs. Can you speak to Lamar as a leader and as a quarterback, and when he's in the locker room and getting you guys ready to go, how you feel like, you know, like we said, there's going to be criticisms for everybody, but you guys feel like, look, we're going to ride with Lamar no matter what.
No matter what. I mean, Lamar is definitely that leader in the locker room. He may not say much to the media or whatnot, but he definitely he makes sure that we're locked in. And when you go in, that's the guy that you want to play for. He's going to be locked in each and every day. He wants to be the best at what he does. He's going to be watching film. And when we go on that film on our field and we're competing against each other, he wants it to be exactly how he wants it to be. And when you have a quarterback who's willing and wants to put his – you know, his game on the line for us to win is definitely motivational. So I wouldn't rather have any other quarterback than him. He's just that type of person that you want to go out there and make sure you get the ball back. Mm-hmm. And when he gets the ball, you already know what time it is. You better have your eyes on him, or he could be past you in a second.
Mm. Yeah. And, I mean, Lamar is awesome. We've seen him have MVP seasons. He might get another one this year. But, I mean, he's been in the playoffs now a couple different times and just hasn't been able to get over that hump. And in the AFC, y'all have – some of the toughest competition. You got Joe Burrow, you got Josh Allen, you got Patrick Mahomes you got to try and get through, and Lamar's definitely in that list of guys you got to get through. But what do you think he has to do to get over that hump? Or is it just, it's just, you know, sometimes that stuff is random and it's just got to be your year?
Hey, at the end of the day, it's a team sport.
Right.
It's not all on Lamar. Yeah. You know, if the defense doesn't give them any points, if we don't let them score any points, then they don't win. So if we don't give up 17 points against the Chiefs, what then? You know, they don't win. We could win with 10 points if that's the case. But you know, Lamar does everything in his power to make sure that we win the game. And if we don't end up on the winning side of it, it's not his fault. It's a collective unit of offense, defense, and special teams. And I think that's the main thing that we preach. It's not all on one person. Yeah. It doesn't matter what if he threw for 500 yards and, you know, no touchdowns.
Yeah.
They're going to say it's on Lamar Jackson because he's the quarterback.
Right.
But at the end of the day, we gave up 17 points.
Right.
And they couldn't have scored in the second half. It doesn't matter because they still won.
Yeah. Right. Talking to Marcus Williams, Baltimore Ravens safety. Marcus, I want you to just take us through your thought process because, look, people on this show know I'm a bit of a showboater, okay? And enough.
Sorry.
So, basically, I'm just glad that I'm not in the NFL because I'll tell you what, man. If I ever got an interception, I might still be celebrating right now. Can you take us through your thought process when you see a quarterback and you're thinking, I might have a chance at this, as the ball is coming to you and you're thinking, I better not drop this? Take us through that thought process because, obviously, a quarterback is making throws. Everybody on the offense, you know what I'm saying, they're trying to score a touchdown. And if you're on defense, front line, you're trying to cause fumbles, things like that. But an interception is one of the more unique things to happen in a sport, and it can change the trajectory of a game. Take us through what it's like when you get an interception and just the feeling when you make sure you got that thing and what you want to do next.
No, it's definitely a great feeling to get interceptions. I mean, to take the ball away from the offense, it definitely demoralizes them.
And it
makes them feel like, dang, he's going to think twice before throwing it again in the same direction. And if he does, make him pay again. But, you know, it's exciting, but you still got to lock back in. As soon as you get that, you score, either score a touchdown or you get tackled or whatever. But after that, then you go back and you lock back in and that play's over. It doesn't really matter.
Right.
As long as once you win, you can take a deep breath. But before it ends, the interceptions could be none. But it's definitely exciting to get a big takeaway.
Yeah.
I mean, they always say DBs are receivers because they couldn't catch. What do you got to say about that, man?
Like, I think it's receivers were – DBs were once receivers, yeah. But I mean, I was a receiver, but I could catch.
Yeah.
Right.
So
we know.
At the end of the day, I mean – there's more DBs in the league because it's harder to play.
Yeah.
Receiver, there's a lot of receivers, but how many of them are actually going to make it to the NFL?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So playing
That's
DB, you could get to the NFL and you could play, and it doesn't matter. You could play special teams, whatever. But I mean, they can say whatever they want.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, I got 20 interceptions.
Yeah.
And I'm a DB.
Come on, talk about it.
There you go. Talking to Marcus Williams, Baltimore Ravens safety. All right, Marcus, before we get you out of here, you face these two teams. Out of all the picks that we've done so far, you are the most qualified make the pick. Who do you think wins on Sunday?
Neither. I don't want either of them. I hope the lights turn off, and I hope they both go home sad too, just like everybody else. But, you know, one team's going to come out with the victory, and I don't care which one it is at the end of the day.
There you go. We had somebody on your boy Q, Myers, who does a bunch of Raiders radio, and we asked him, who do you got winning? He said Monday.
Yeah.
Monday. So that's right. You can take that with you for all your other interviews. Marcus Williams, Baltimore Ravens safety. Marcus, thank you so much. This has
been
great, man.
Yes.
And good luck to the rest of your career in Baltimore. Make sure you get, you know, some of the crab. I know they got great food out there.
Right.
So continue to enjoy yourself, and we'll talk to you soon.
No doubt. Appreciate it.
All righty. Got to get to a break. When we get back, more Styles and Watkins in Vegas. Thanks to Jiffy Lube, Sacktown Sports.
Trying to find out where to catch your favorite team's games?
Are you a fan of the Kings, Niners, and the NFL?
Well, Sacktown Sports has you covered.
Touchdown! San Francisco!
It's all on his shoulders. Fox rocks. He fires for the win. He's got the triple!
Catch all your Kings, Niners, and NFL games all year long on Sacktown Sports and SacktownSports.com.
Chill Group is not a law firm.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshare. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare. In the process, started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. The ugly truth is, when you buy a timeshare, you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. I recently helped a couple that had their maintenance fees go from $800 to $3,200 a year. They also received a $4,000 assessment for a hurricane that was over 1,000 miles away. Sound crazy? The crazy thing is, this never ends. Call my office now. If we take you as a client, I guarantee we'll cancel your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Call for your free information kit. Call 800-462-3333. That's 800-462-3333. 800-462-3333.
Awesome. Hey, babe, can you check the front door? My package is here.
Yeah, on it. Hey, are we still watching our show tonight?
New episode on Prime? You bet. That reminds me, let's hit Whole Foods this afternoon. We need snack supplies.
From package deliveries to entertainment and even fresh groceries, Amazon is in front of hundreds of thousands of customers every single day. Imagine what you could do if your business had that kind of reach. It's not a dream. Right now, you can take advantage of Amazon's expansive network to benefit your business. Unlock expert insights and tap into the full potential of Amazon. Simply text DIGITAL to 916-766-5105 now. Make the smart move. Text DIGITAL to 916-766-5105. Put the power of Amazon to work for you. Text DIGITAL, that's DIGITAL, to 916-766-5105.
Our Styles & Watkins road trip to Radio Row in Las Vegas is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. For car maintenance from oil changes to tires and brakes, Jiffy Lube has you covered. Now back to more of Styles & Watkins.
Making our road trip to Radio Row possible, Jiffy Lube, a proud sponsor of Sacktown Sports, joined by KJ Rice, NFL linebacker, Pro Bowl linebacker, current host of our brother-sister station, Seattle Sports, 710. KJ, and KJ is coming in. He's dancing to the music.
The
we're coming in with the vibes. And look, this is everybody else is going to ask the same questions, and we got to do that. We got to. But when somebody sits down and says they got something on their mind.
Who he said spirit. He said spirit.
No, my spirit. Who are we to go ahead and ask you the same stock question? KJ Wright, thank you for joining us. Yes. And the floor is yours.
Listen, when I found out I was coming to a San Francisco station, it hit me. I don't know what hit me, but I don't get goosebumps too often.
Okay.
But when the San Francisco 49ers came to Seattle – last year, I saw a football team, and it just reminded me of my era. It reminded me of the 2013 dominating Legion of Boom. And I don't know too many GMs, but I hit up John Lynch, the general manager of you guys. I said, John, I read this to you. I don't want my name drop.
Okay.
Whatever. I said, what's up, John? Congrats on the win last night. It's truly inspiring watching you guys play the way y'all do. Keep it going, and good luck all the way. And I just look at the way that John Lynch has handpicked so many dudes on this football team. The way that he went and released his quarterback that he – or traded the quarterback in Trey Lance. The way that he made these big-time trades. Like, when you talk about going all in, going all out, using your football expertise, using your general manager expertise and building this team the way you have built it, this is truly inspiring from an athlete that would potentially go into this field, and from an athlete just looking at, you got some dogs, some legends. Like, these guys gel so well together on this football team. And so I just look at what John Lynch has done and what he will continue to do. Hands down, one of the best general managers in the game.
That's awesome. I mean, first off, I feel like a lot of 49er fans are not going to be happy hearing that this team reminds you of the 2013 Legion of Boom. They're probably not going to love that. But
they won, though.
They won. Hey,
they won the Super Bowl,
though. They're probably not going to love. But second off, what does remind you of those teams?
Listen, it is the – you know how when you run out of a tunnel and you walk with that walk? you got that look. You look into the opponent's sideline.
Like, they can't touch us.
We here. That's how – we were.
And
I look at everything. I look at how those guys carry themselves. Their energy. Like, when they make a play, they like, dog, we gonna be here all night, and there's nothing you can do about it. They walk that walk, they talk that talk, and they believe in themselves. They have their confidence on the football field. And for you guys to go and, you know, almost get there. I almost feel bad for y'all, but
almost.
But I won't be mad, because you guys have definitely earned it. The way that John Lynch has built this team, though I love so many guys and respect.
Yeah.
Greenlaw, respect CMC, respect Kittle, Juszczyk, can stand playing y'all back in the day.
Right.
But y'all brought the best out of me. Y'all brought the best out of Bobby. And it was always a fun matchup each and every time we played you guys. And so love what y'all bring to the table.
KJ, you kind of already alluded to something that I was going to ask in a roundabout way. The 49ers have a dynamic duo at linebacker. Mm-hmm. KJ Wright, Bobby Wagner, same situation.
Yeah.
In your mind, are the 49ers, do they have the best duo linebacker, or is there someone else? I know Baltimore, Patrick Queen.
Right. No, it's not close.
Not close?
It's not close. You just start with Fred. Start with Fred. I watch a guy that's always prepared, a guy that commands the huddle, a guy that – I've watched film on Fred. He got this new stance. Watch Fred Warner. He, like, got this little cockback stance, like, I'm ready to attack downhill, or I can just simply drop back in coverage and do my thing. And Dre Greenlaw, this man is – give him his respect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He hitting dudes' helmets. He running sideline to sideline, making plays, and just watching how they feed off of each other. Watch how they both are on the same – just in unisex. That's how Bobby and I were. We was connected together. And I just look at both those guys and see what they bring to the table each and every game day. Hands down, the best duo in the NFL.
Talking to KJ Wright, former NFL Pro Bowl linebacker. And KJ, all right, we know that fan is short for fanatic.
Mm-hmm.
But we had you on. Obviously, you were with the Seahawks. You were with the Legion of Boom. So I got to ask the question. Sherm is taking some heat for I don't want to say hopping over, but he's doing a lot of Niners talking. I got to get your thoughts. Fair or foul, because he's taking heat from the Seahawks fans.
Ooh.
Because I saw it. He's going back and forth with them now.
They
are saying, man, my kid who was just born, they probably don't even think that you were on the Seahawks. what do you think about what's going on, man?
Yeah, I look at every person that has been let go by the Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
Myself, Sherm, Jermaine Kearse, the list goes on and on. We all have that moment of bitterness.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep it a buck. We all have that moment of bitterness, frustration, anger. And I think everyone had that. But I look at Sherm, obviously time is going on. He doesn't hate the Seattle Seahawks.
Right.
He's not mad at the Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
Sherm is the type of guy, he's going to call a spade. He's going to call it how he sees it. He's going to speak his truth. But you saw how – I don't know if you saw it, but how Marshawn –
He came up to
you
him.
Saw that? You saw that? And even on my show, G. Scott like, hey, man, what's up with Sherm, man? Like, I'm like, I don't know. I think it's all love between him and the Seahawks.
Yeah.
But I remember how that exit happened.
Mm-hmm.
Sherm tore his Achilles.
Right.
Sherm was – they just called him up after he tore his Achilles and let him go.
Yeah.
That was hard for Sherm. That was hard for my guy. But I don't think there's any vendetta between Seahawks and the Oregon. He come to practice. He coach up Reek Woolen. He coach up Witherspoon.
Okay.
Yeah, he's around.
See,
he's
that's the stuff we don't know.
Exactly.
We just see
look, Sherm comes around often.
And he said, look, the Niners are relevant right now. That's why I'm talking about the Niners, okay? or more relevant, right?
Yeah.
They're in the Super Bowl, so I'm going to talk about the Niners. We know we got to get you out of here because you doing your own thing. You're doing great work
for
our brother, sister station, Seattle Sports 710. Go check him out, KJ Wright, if you haven't already. But we got to get your pick. We got to get your pick. Who you got winning this thing?
Well, first of all, check out KJ All Day podcast, too. Make sure
okay.
y'all check that out.
Right. Get that going.
I'll do film study on you guys. But, man, I'm looking up right here, and I see the number 15. He's screaming. He's yelling.
Cut his mic already. Yeah. Now. Come on, KJ. I got love for you. Now.
I got love for y'all.
Oh.
Y'all have the better team. But the it factor is him and it's everybody else. I'm sorry.
True.
And so we'll see. I won't be mad either way, but Patty Mahomes, it's hard for me to go against him.
Yep.
There you go, KJ Wright. Thank you so much for joining us.
Appreciate
we'll definitely have and enjoy the rest of your time in Vegas.
Y'all too, man. Thank you.
All righty, got to get to a break. When we get back, more Styles and Watkins in Vegas, thanks to Jiffy Lube, Sacktown Sports. We are here with Howard Balzer, Sirius XM NFL Radio and NFL writer for Phoenix with the Cardinals. Howard, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure being with you guys. How you doing?
We are good because we are in Vegas thanks to Jiffy Lube. Oil changes, tire rotations, your overall car maintenance, think Jiffy Lube. Jiffy Lube is the place to take your car for your next road trip. Jiffy Lube, proud sponsor of Styles and Watkins Radio Row Road Trip to Las Vegas. Howard, let's start here. We're talking a little bit during the break, and you have a vote for the NFL Hall of Fame, which is going to be announced tonight.
Yes.
Right? How do you feel as far as just that responsibility? I'm a big baseball guy, and in baseball they have certain issues where guys give up their votes or they vote for Mickey Mouse. What's the type of responsibility you feel when you're voting in the Hall of Fame?
Tremendous responsibility. Mm-hmm. And I think I speak for all of the 50 selectors, because we all realize how life-changing this is for those who get elected. And it is, though, one of the hardest things that I do throughout of any year. When you get to that final 15, and then everyone gets presented, we have an 8 or a 9 hour meeting where each one is presented, then there's discussion and all those things. And after every discussion, you're going, he's going to get in. By the time it's over, you're saying, I wish we could put all 15 in.
Right.
And then when you vote, and there's a vote from 15 to 10 first, you're going, oh, my goodness. How do I pick this? And then you vote your 10, then they announce it, a little more discussion, then you vote for 5. And that's the real, man, that's the one where you're going, I mean, these are the 5. Now, not everybody gets their 5 usually, obviously. Right. We don't vote as a unit, but you realize the impact that this has. And the one thing I do always say, however, is that it always seems after the election, then you hear the bar, oh, how could they not put this guy in? How could they not put this guy in? And I always say you could pick any 5, a combination of any 5, and it would be a great class. And I think people underestimate how hard it is just to get to the 15.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty amazing. But totally humbled by it. It's incredible. I've been doing it. It's hard to believe for 20 years.
Yeah.
And hopefully many more. We'll see. But yeah, it is tremendous. We know the impact it has, and it's life-changing for these guys who are going to be announced tonight as Hall of Famers.
I guess you can only speak for yourself, but, I mean, of course, whenever Hall of Fame conversations come up, more specifically when it comes to snubbings, it's, oh, he's not a first-ballot Hall of Famer. Do you actually take that kind of thing into effect, or is that kind of a – you might not, but another voter might.
Yeah, exactly. And I hate the word snub.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost like, it's kind of what I was alluding to. It's almost like people think we're voting against somebody.
Yes.
No, you're not voting against anybody. You're just voting for someone. And you're trying to pick the ones that you believe are the most deserving. But you do take into account sometimes, and I know I do a little bit, when somebody's been waiting for a long time.
Okay.
And whether it's many years as a finalist, many years as eligibility, and then they weren't a finalist right away, and now they've been a finalist several times. And full disclosure, I am the representative for the Rams, and I have presented Torrey Holt now for 5 years. And so certainly, from my mind, I believe he's deserving.
Yeah.
Everybody's deserving, and that's one of the interesting things, especially when you have 3 receivers in the final 15 or 3 pass rushers, where there was one year where there was 4 offensive linemen several years ago, and then none got in, and then all of a sudden one got in the next year, that opened the door, then there was another one the next, and boom, you got all 4 in. And so for wide receivers last year, these same guys, Reggie Wayne and Andre Johnson, along with Holt, were finalists last year. And none of them got in. So now they're all back. And that's when one doesn't get in, that's keeping some other guys like Steve Smith Jr. or Anquan Boldin, Hines Ward, who have been semifinalists a bunch of times. That kind of keeps them from getting into the 15.
Yeah.
So there's all those little nuances to it that I think probably a lot of times people don't think about.
Yeah. Talking to Howard Balzer, Sirius XM NFL radio and NFL writer for the Cardinals, hosting the NFL Hall of Fame show on Sirius, because we will know who's in tonight, and the show is at 8 p.m.
Yeah, the show starts at 8 tonight.
There's
a weekly Hall of Fame show I do with Joe Harrigan, who works for the Hall of Fame, and that's on Sirius each week. This one is a special one tonight. Mm-hmm. I'm not with Joe. I'm with Alex Marvez, and we will be on starting at 8 after. It's interesting, though, the class will have been announced, but they tape the show.
Oh,
now,
wow.
Now, I believe, though, I think it starts at 6 p.m.
on
Pacific time, I believe. But I get confused sometimes with, well, they're taping it, then they're doing this and all that. But when we come on, everyone will pretty much know who is in. And then after they do a little press conference with other media there, we get the guys on immediately, which is always always kind of a just, man, it's just incredible to talk to these guys and all the emotion they have, even though they have known for a few weeks.
Now, obviously, we're not asking, we would never ask you to say who you voted for, but just for the Niner fans out there, when you saw Patrick Willis's name pop up and saw that he was going to be up, what were your first thoughts?
I think the only thing that's kept him out to this point is the fact that his career was cut short. Mm-hmm. He didn't have that long career. And sometimes when you're being compared with guys, selectors look at, okay, well, he had not eight or nine great years, but then he retired, and somebody else might have had 10, 11, 12 years. And so that comes into the whole process. I mean, he had a Hall of Fame career mm-hmm. when he played. Yeah. And I think it's only a matter of time for him to get in. I know that doesn't help guys a lot of times when they're wondering when it's going to happen, and I'm sure family members, oh, this will be your year. Yeah. This will, and they're all going, well, I don't know. How do you know? I mean, you don't really know. But I'm confident in saying he will be a Hall of Famer at some point because he's tremendously deserving and obviously a great player.
Yeah. We mentioned that you write about the Cardinals as well, and we got to ask you about Kyler Murray. It's a guy that we ask about all the time and talking about. Sometimes we're like, the Raiders, is that going to be a guy that they should get? What do you think is the future for Kyler in Arizona? He obviously just signed that contract extension last offseason. Do you see him staying in Arizona as they try and rebuild that, or is he a potential a quarterback that could be moved on to another team?
I certainly believe that he is going to be the quarterback this coming season.
Okay.
And what he went through last year, coming back from the rehab, learning a new offense and not being able to get on the field until October with that. And then he played pretty good football when he finally got in there with not, great talent around him. But I know the coaching staff and everyone in the organization loved the way he attacked it. And I think just the fact that he was a guy that wasn't at the off-season program sometimes in past years. Mm. This year he was there. He was rehabbing there at the facility. He was there in the meetings. He was at that. And I think it changed him a little bit, seeing how important it was to be around the team. And I know how much respect teammates have for him.
Yeah.
So he does have the big contract, yes. But I think certainly this coming season will be a real true evaluation